porn is taking a while.
I'm so bored.
I don't even
Why can't I look at porn?
I don't even mostly want to not jerk off anymore.
Wait, so you want to jerk off more than yes. you don't want to jerk off? Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Welcome to A Bit Drunk. This is the Bit Pubs audio podcast in which we have a discussion about console video gaming's past, present, and future, and anything and everything involving them. And whilst doing so, we're drinking many fine craft beers and spirituous beverages. My name is Ian Greer, and I'm hanging out with a few other drunken assholes who play video games. The first one is a pile of foam. It's not Patrick, who's no longer with us.
He's not dead
this week.
Oh, he's just not with us this here week. In this apartment.
He's seeing other people.
It's not us, it's him.
Yeah. He's seeing another podcast.
No, it's probably totally us.
Yeah. But he tried to distort what he says, but he's going to rise above James Lambert.
Is that a black flag thing?
That was a black flag thing. Wow. I do song lyrics. It's kind of my fun thing.
Impressed.
Why are you impressed?
I'm with breast.
Yeah, with breast.
I can see that.
But that's James Lambert.
Hello.
He's going to rise above. Also, drinking black coffee and staring at walls, Danny Gwynn.
I do both of those things frequently.
Very much so. As usual, we have some stimulating and arousing conversation for you this week. And Danny Gwynn's going to tell you all about it, Danny Gwynn.
Hello, listeners. This week, we're going to be talking about games that suck. Current ones, old ones, whatever. We don't really like them, and here's why we don't, as we get into A Bit Drunk.
Brought a crowd favorite. I think we both brought some crowd favorites, or at least crowd favorite. Favorite crowd breweries. Tell us about what you brought to drink.
I have brought another beer by a place called Fort Point in San Francisco. This one's called Park. It's a wheat beer that's fairly hoppy, but it's still pretty light. It's not super alcoholic, and it's just a good, fun drinking summer beer. If you want like a mild IPA type feel in your mouth hole. Really good. I like this brewery a lot, and everything they've put out so far has been good. And it's all cans, which is summertime. Summertime is can time.
Good design on those cans too.
Yes.
Them cans got great design, let me tell you.
I'm a can man myself.
Yeah. Some pretty cans. Nice cans. Fort Point. Also, your beer is delightful. I brought another old podcast brewery favorite from 21st Amendment. They just started putting this in cans for the summer. Toaster Pastry. It is an India red ale. So take like a red ale. Like most people probably had it like a Killian's Irish Red, I would say. But take one that's maybe better. And add more.
What, you don't like the Irish?
So think oats. Think malts. Think like toasted things.
Add a little hops to it, so you get some you get some bitters from it. But it's like the toast. I would say it's like it's toaster pastry. It's like kind of doughy,
aptly named.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. It's super. It's like oh, this is kind of doughy.
It's got some sweetness to it.
Icing sweetness to it.
This is a tasty
yeah,
beverage.
This is really tasty. I would say this would be an evening beer. I would say drink like if you want to
get
something
fucked up during the day
on Hell or High Watermelon. Yes. If you're going to go from 21st Amendment, which is a podcast favorite. Then move inside once the barbecue's done. Start
put a collared shirt on.
Yeah,
get ready to go out.
It's the evening time, and then drink toaster pastry. Blink, blink, blink. Danny,
you'll find out more about that later.
Yeah, Danny, you brought a delightful treat for us.
So courtesy of my delightful wife, I have some cupcakes from Icing on the Cake. From Los Gatos, California. It's a delicious bakery that's been voted best bakery in the Bay Area a million times. I have yet to have anything bad from there.
She's provided us with treats from there multiple times.
I have diabetes because of her.
Well, thanks a lot, Sabrina. Thank you, Sabrina, for our collective diabetes. Our collective diabetes.
Thank you.
Wolford Brimley also thanks you.
Yes. For making him semi-relevant.
Is he dead? He dead?
He might be dead.
He might be.
I don't know.
Was he ever really alive?
Maybe he just has the gangrenous foot.
Oh, it could be. Take my legs. From the diabetes.
Anyway, I brought some cupcakes.
They were delightful.
Were good.
You brought a vegan one in case our friend Patrick would be here.
Patrick, how was that?
He didn't have
it. Oh, okay.
I stole it and ate it.
The hell with you, Patrick.
Actually, I really like vegan baked goods because
that's so weird.
You're
really
the
good.
Weirdest person alive.
It's so, but this one was excellent.
Part of you doesn't really like fun.
Probably. Part of me hates fun. But all of me love that cupcake. So thanks, Sabrina, and thanks icing on the cake for making.
There was
great
a peanut
stuff.
Butter one that was sweating. It was like a fat kid.
Yeah,
it was the fat kid.
It was the embodiment of a fat kid.
Yeah,
in a cupcake.
In between eating cupcakes and drinking beer, we play some video games on occasion. So, James, what have you been up to playing lately?
I am still playing that EA game Unraveled with Yarny, and it's taken a dark turn. Ooh. I'm at a point now where we're working through some, like...
Is it still Alzheimer-y?
Yeah. We're recovering memories for this weird Alzheimer animated chick, and... you get to see pictures, and the first half of the, I think I'm like halfway through now. The first half of the game was very light. Like, I'm with my family, I'm outdoors, we're collecting berries, like all this cool stuff. And now we've gone to, like, the kids are teenagers and they're dumping nuclear waste in the forest, and I'm melting.
What the
Yarny's
fuck?
Melting because I jump in this thing and it's
Jesus.
Toxic.
Holy shit.
And I'm like, what the fuck? It's about to be the apocalypse.
Seriously, yeah. So
that's where I'm at in the game. I haven't really been playing other things, but that one's one that's been fun to play with the shitty 5-year-old that's my son that I love.
It's, you know what? Okay, let's take an aside. Kids are assholes. It's okay to say so. You can still love them.
They can be shitty and be great at the same time.
That's totally true.
I'm the only one at the table without children, but I do have huskies.
Those are assholes.
So I have like a microcosm of understanding. Yeah. Like I have a modicum of understanding for
this. So we get together, we play the game, we help each other figure out how to get through it. And I haven't really brought up like the political part of nuclear power and fallout and the potential.
I would imagine he'll pick that up as he gets older and learns.
We're not going there right now. We're just trying to figure out how to get through the thing without melting. Like, there's these barrels of nuclear waste in the forest, and, like, how do we get around that? I don't know. So we figured
out. But that's a good growing... Like, how many games did we play that later on? We're like, holy shit, this is what they were covering, and I was 10.
Yeah.
So I don't really... I didn't have a concept of that, or the world didn't look that way to me at that point.
Yeah, so it's fun. That's what I'm playing.
Nice. Danny Gwynn, what you playing?
So this is a console podcast, but just as a quick aside, I've been playing Pokemon Go because everyone's playing Pokemon Go.
I knew we were going to bring it up at some point.
So,
Jesus.
So it's fun.
Have you stopped on the freeway?
No.
Okay.
But anyway, because I have previously mentioned I'm a big Pokemon fan, that prompted me to go and pick up my original Pokemon games and play them. So I had downloaded the Virtual Console re-releases of Pokemon Red and Yellow, and I never actually played Yellow before because all I ever had in the cartridge was Red. But I picked up Yellow because it's a slightly different experience. There's a little bit more, like, they plug in elements from the show because it's basically
you start with Pikachu, right?
You start with Pikachu, the like Team Rocket characters are in there, and whatever. They totally just bite off the show. They're oh, God, we got to just grab as much of this cash as we can right now.
It's happening right now. Make money.
Do it.
Yeah. So, anyway, to further their desire to grab cash, I picked up Pokemon Yellow. So, anyway, I've been playing that.
Nice.
That's fun. I still love it just as much as I loved the other original Pokemon games. It's great. In addition to that, I'm still playing Overwatch. It's great. They introduced the competitive mode. Have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah. How's that going for you?
Well, I haven't been playing that. That actually has fallen to the bottom of like my current games that I'm playing, but I played two nights ago, and that was the first time I played it in a couple of weeks. Yeah, but yeah, it's still fun. They're going to introduce this new character who's like a healer sniper, which is an interesting concept. Like, you shoot your teammates with a sniper rifle to heal them or something.
That's kind of fun.
I don't know. It's interesting. So it's like friendly sniping.
Friendly fire, yeah.
So looking forward to seeing what that character is all about. But the one that I'm most interested to talk about is a new release as of this week from Insomniac or Insomnia Games called
Insomnia.
Song of the Deep.
Yes, Insomniac, yeah.
For my PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
It has similar overtones to like Bastion or... what was the quasi-futuristic one? Not Child of Light. Well, I don't remember. But it's anyway, okay. There was another like a narrated adventure game.
Right, right.
So it's a similar thing. It's a story-driven game where you're this little girl who's like the daughter of a poor fisherman. And every night the fisherman goes out to go fishing and you stand on the cliffside. You hold up a candle to help him find his way home. And one night he doesn't come back. So you use all this scrap metal and stuff. You build a submarine, like this rickety-ass submarine, because you get a vision of your father sinking beneath the waves, and you're going to go save him.
Oh, shit.
So you're in this rickety-ass submarine, and you dive under the ocean to go find
your
father.
And you die.
No, you're totally alive. And don't... Look, it's a video game.
Don't question.
So it starts out, it's very... you're exploring. There's clearly points right from the beginning that you are going to be able to interact with later once you get more attachments and items for your submarine, but that you can't do anything with. So it's one of those games where you have to just follow the cues that they set for you and then go back and retrace your steps later to recover all of the various unlocks and things that you can't get right from the beginning. But it's a lot of fun. Like, the narration is cool. The music's really awesome. The graphics are artistic. Yeah,
developers of Infamous series, which is a really good series. Yeah.
So, anyway, I've been playing that a lot. It's a bunch of fun. I was a little frustrated at the beginning because you don't really have many weapons, and you're getting attacked by all these monsters.
What kind of monsters? Squids?
Slime?
Squids, Scrams. Jellyfish... These weird spherical things that shoot spikes out.
So most things that have tentacles are tentacle-like things. I'm into this.
Any slimes?
There's definitely no slimes.
Are there a lot of slimes?
Yeah. There are no slimes.
All right, I'm out.
But the first weapon you get is like this little grappling hook claw. Mm-hmm. And so you have to you essentially punch things with your submarine with this little grappling hook.
Yeah.
And until you beat the first boss and then a little bit after, that's the only weapon you have. So... Once you uncover a ranged weapon, which I just did recently, the game gets a lot more fun. I feel like you're able to hold your own a little bit more. The fights get a little more hectic because they are able to throw more enemies at you. So, anyway, it's a lot of fun. It's $15. Like, totally worth it.
Cool.
I've already played several hours. I feel like I've enjoyed $15 worth of time already. So,
what's it called again?
Beautiful.
Song of the Deep.
That's the song from the deep.
Song of the Deep. Sing it again.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Please stop. Never sing the Song of the Deep again. Ever.
Okay.
That's good to know because I saw that came out. And I really love Insomniac games, but I hadn't purchased it or even really played it yet.
So definitely worth your time and money.
Excellent.
Ian?
Me. In contrast to last podcast, in which I had played very little, I kind of made up for it and played quite a few things since then. I've been making my way through my PlayStation Plus library. It kind of struck me the other day. It's like, man, I've had all this shit that I've been getting free for years, and a lot of it I haven't touched. So I started playing a shit ton of titles that have been on there. Some of them indies, some of them from major developers. But the tops in my head that are sticking out are the ones I've been playing most recently are Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris.
Okay.
We are. It's another. We're going to be talking about a three-quarter isometric view game later on, and it kind of follows the same thing. So it's sort of kind of a. If I could say run and gun, but it's not really many guns in there, but it's a very fast paced move through, do this, beat up this, keep going.
Are there puzzles?
There are puzzles. It's not as think like other Tomb Raider games where there's a lot of kind of Legend of Zelda esque puzzles where you got to move this and go over here. Everything's meant to be very quick. This is an overhead view game. You're getting through things. You got a small party with you. I played Spelunky, which is a lot of fun.
I've played that game.
Quite a lot of fun. That game, also extremely difficult. That game is extremely hard, but you are a spelunker traveling through a cave, and you have to get these objects or damsels from each
cave. Are there lots of poops?
There's no, it's not like dropping poop into things.
Oh.
Like cave dwellers. You're spelunking, not spelooshing.
Got you.
But you can rescue a damsel. Every level is generated. It's randomly generated or procedurally generated, I guess you could say. So if you were to die or if you had to restart when you go back into that level, it's completely different than it was before. Hmm. All kinds of interesting traps. I started playing Thomas Was Alone. That is a really interesting game. This one came out several years ago. You can get it for PS3 or PS4 and I think 360 and Xbox One. The game is premise of you're an AI construct in the form of a pixel, a dot, a block. Your name is Thomas. And
Thomas the Block.
Thomas the Block. And it's a game of personality and self-discovery. And so Thomas is,
like you learn at first,
like, oh, he can jump and he can kind of move through these things. He moves pretty quick. Oh, yeah.
Self, in all things.
Self-pleasuring.
On all things. With all things.
Yes, to all of
all
the
and
things.
All and with. But Thomas keeps meeting other characters. Like, there's one that's a lot smaller than him and he can't jump as far, but he's tiny so he can get in small spaces. There's one that's like super tall and can jump really far, but it's since he's super tall.
Super long.
Super long. He can't fit everywhere. And there's one that's super girthy.
Hits all the sides all at once.
Yeah, so it's somewhat like somewhat puzzly where you kind of have to work things together, move this first and then like use this character for this other character. The narration is brilliant, like a beautiful British accent, witty description of these AI blocks' thoughts about what's happening as they're coming aware and who's doing what. And it starts with Thomas is by himself and it concerns him. Because he's a human in his, or it's a very human emotion, I should say, and he's alone. And now he starts meeting other people. And some of the other, like the little tiny one is squat and doesn't give a shit, but is also at the same time like, all right, whatever, there's people, I'll go with them. And Thomas is happy to be meeting others, and everyone feels useful in their own right. So it's a really, really fun game. Good little, there's no time limit or anything to it. You just kind of play through a puzzle and you rotate through the characters in order to complete the puzzle. And then I capped it off with a game called Strider from Capcom. Hmm. This one is my favorite for the simple fact that it's just satisfying. So you are, it's kind of a dystopian future. There's this unquestioned omnipotent ruler who has this sort of robot army, and you're part of this insurgent crew. Striders who are
Descent.
These ultimate warriors.
You're hitting all the right notes with James, right?
Dude,
now.
This game it's a high graphic side scroller. And it is kind of side scrolling beat 'em up, but super quick. Think like a Shinobi thing, like hey, there's three guys and they're all robots, and you
kill them with one swipe.
Yeah, one swipe, kill them, but they're also it's very challenging too, because it's even level one. They're shooting at you and they are accurate as hell. Don't think like Mega Man, like one, the first level you're playing, where it's like, ah, some of the bullets are going around you. No, they are shooting at you and you've got to dodge it. You don't have much help, but killing these things and slicing them up is super satisfying. It's a Capcom slide slider. Strider.
Capcom's great at that too.
This was something where I didn't hear a lot of people talking about it, and probably because the game itself doesn't have terribly much depth, or at least from what I've sussed out from it, but it's just great. It's just super satisfying to play. So those are all the things that I've been playing, and those are all the things that you guys have been playing, and those are all the things that we've been drinking. Now that we've been drinking, we should get in some Drunk Talk.
Drunky Talkie.
metal. So yeah, the thing looks what is it? Classic NES.
It's like the mini, NES something. Classic Mini.
Yeah.
Are there dimensions? Do you know how large this thing is?
Tiny.
Yeah. Super tiny.
Like probably bread box. iPad.
Definitely mini. Smaller than a bread box.
I would say
the size of a card of decks.
A little bit larger, maybe taller. I would say taller and a little bit wider.
Two cards of decks.
Well, the picture on Nintendo's Twitter has it fitting inside of a person's hand.
Is that person Andre the Giant?
No, because he's dead.
Is that a Japanese hand?
Also, good question.
They're probably smaller than American hands because we are the best country in the world.
Yeah. Okay, weird to say, but all right.
Yeah. But
America.
Japanese hands is the best hands to get a handy from because then you feel huge.
Unless you want it to go all the way around. Yeah, coming out on the 11th of November.
The hand jobs from Japan?
Yep.
Yay!
In a box. Does not give dimensions.
Hand jobs in a box sounds like what we just looked at on that, that slime porn thing.
On that 4chan thing.
There's some games on here that I just don't give a shit about.
Which games do you give the least shits about
later on that Donkey list. Kong Jr., I think.
What?
Yeah,
Donkey
right.
Kong Jr.'s rad.
That's okay. Yeah.
Sad.
I don't even know what Super C is.
You don't know Super C?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know that either, actually.
I was like, oh, fuck. How do I not know what this is? Dr. Mario is legit.
What? A good puzzle game. Super C, wasn't that? It was supposed to be effectively Contra 2, right?
I don't know.
I think you're correct.
Yeah.
Which one? Okay. Donkey Kong Jr.
Yeah.
He was Donkey Kong's son.
He was the son of
no
Kong.
Kidding. Yeah. By way of Princess Toadstool.
Is Donkey Kong... Oh, God. Is Donkey Kong Jr., he's the... that's the one where he's wearing, like, the wife beater that says DK on it, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I don't hate that one. Maybe. I always default to hating it. Okay, this one's all right.
Hatred.
Just pure
hatred. I hate.
If there's anything he's not sure about, he hates it.
Yeah, I just default to hate. Hey, Punch Out. That's cool.
Punch Out's great.
Yeah. Is it Mike Tyson's Punch Out?
Featuring Mr. Dream.
That
because
license expired.
Licensing.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Tyson get up on that and make some more money?
Hey, listen, Mr. James, I won't be associated with the Nintendo Entertainment System any longer than I have to be.
I think it's more Nintendo doesn't want anything to do with him.
Also, that's
look,
true.
They could add an extra level where he bites someone's ear.
Yeah.
They could have a facial tattoo in the game.
It's
would
like
be fucking rad.
You play as Evander Holyfield and you have to dodge his biting.
He's like,
or maybe you play as Mike Tyson and you have to bite Holyfield.
Yeah. That's the cheat code. That's when you have to put something in the password screen.
Excite Bike. Mm. Also rad. A good one.
Super great game.
Are these all the same games that were on when they did the classic Nintendo Game Boy Advance and they came out with all the Nintendo Game Boy Advance games? I remember Excitebike. I remember Donkey Kong Jr., I think.
So I remember Legend of Zelda for sure. That was, and I remember, I think Punch-Out was one of those.
I don't know if it was on Game Boy Advance. I don't remember.
Yeah. No, because there's 30 games. Wow. There was like a really small number of those that came out for Game Boy Advance.
Something. Yeah. I used to have, I took, with the knowledge of the store, the display that had like a button you could push and it would make the classic NES game noises.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
And a sequence of like four of them, and I turned it into a doorbell.
That's cool.
Very sexy.
That's really cool.
So like Zelda noise or Mario hitting getting a coin or whatever.
Quick side note, did you see in the summer games done quick the dude who beat Mario 3 in 2 seconds?
What?
He's like a bot system, but it worked with a glitch and actually beat it in 2 seconds.
I don't subscribe to this like I found a glitch so I beat the game.
I think it's two different types of speed running. I feel like there's speed running, which is playing the game just as fast as humanly possible, like working your way through that. That interests me a little bit more. And then I feel like there's glitch running, where it's what's
you
the
find
weird
mistakes in the
yeah,
code, and
which is kind of cool. It's like hack music or glitch music or glitch art, which can be really cool. But
I mean, it's interesting, but I don't know. I I don't know. To me, like, it doesn't. It feels more like programming and less like
gaming. You found a mistake with
like
developers made and
mistake of vulnerability sort of thing. Yeah,
just pointing it out.
Yeah, like, hey, this is broken. Look, if I jump and push down and select at the same time,
yeah,
I drop through the world
this exact spot or whatever, at this exact amount of time or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, there, I just ruined the game for everybody. And my response is,
How does one find that? Like, a glitch like that.
I know as of late, especially since a lot of the ROMs are available, you have the code to look at.
So people are just looking at the code.
Yeah, people can look into the code and see where something can be amiss or where, oh, if I can make this call happen at the same time as this call, I'll have like a race condition and the system doesn't know what to do. So it automatically does a reset maneuver and puts me at this spot. And so they're like, how do I actuate that? Oh, this happens then, and this happens then. Maybe I can combine these two. There we go.
Does that mean that those people are like the architect of the Matrix, and that they're actually the machines, and that the video game is actually the people?
Yes,
probably.
That's exactly what that means.
Reverse Matrix.
Yep. Yeah. Precisely what that means.
Yeah.
Very good. So mad about that right now.
James found he found the way.
But Danny, there is no spoon.
But
Trinity
bends
in both Matrix and Reverse Matrix.
Trinity bends.
Yeah, she does.
I tell you what.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week. That was us drinking beer and carrying on about no serious subject matter.
That sounded like literally.
We went to several serious subject
matters. I think that actually happened.
That sounded like any one of our given conversations.
Probably.
On any random day.
Which is, and there's a lot of video games in it, which I think that's why we're going to go meta with the podcast. I think that's how we got started. It's like, what if we just recorded this? What if we give ourselves a little direction?
Look, man.
What if we give it a little erection? Just a tiny one.
A little doctor erection. Direction. Get it? Is Aaron Neville in here?
Yes.
Ave Maria. I got a little direction. I am so happy to be here. That's Dave Matthews.
Ugh. Get off the stage, Dave Matthews.
Yeah.
Woo. So you don't have any experience with Dave Matthews, so you hate him, or you do have experience with Dave Matthews?
In this case, I do have experience with Dave Matthews, and I'm not a fan.
Where on the doll did he touch you?
Where didn't he touch me? It would be a shorter list.
Where on the Dave Matthews did you touch him?
Again, same statement as before. Where didn't I touch him? Shorter list.
Or where? I am going to see Fish for the first time ever.
Oh, wow.
Which hallucinogens are you doing?
I do have to drive home and be at work the next morning, so I will just be in the crowd partaking of the
emotion. Probably still.
Yeah,
so
you're going to be on a lot of things.
Yeah, I'll be on many, many things by the end of it. But
yeah.
We're going with, hasn't been on the show yet, but friend of the show, Lewis. I actually dropped him off at the airport, so he, and also a friend of the show, not been on the show yet, friend Matt Skinny. Dropped them off at the airport so they could go see the Fish Band up in Seattle. But the Fish Band is what they call
it. You sound like their dad.
Yeah, the Fish
Band. Drop the kids off at the airport so they go up and see the Fish Band.
They went to go see the Fish Band. but I'll be seeing them for the first time next week. I took them to see Tool a few months back when they played, because we kept getting into music conversations, and he would play me some stuff, and I was like, oh, really? That's pretty good. I'm not super into like hippie jam bands, but they're really musically talented. So Lewis knew how to kind of curate some stuff to play for.
You're not into hippie jam bands, but you're going to see the hippie jam band of all hippie jam
bands. I was like, hey, check out this Tool stuff. And he dug that. So it took him to see them, and they loved it. He was like, why don't you come see Fish with us sometime? I was like, you know what? You guys always talk about having a great time there. So what the hell? Might as well go check it out. So there, what's kind of cool is usually they play at like festival grounds, and it's like a couple of days. And I was like, I don't know if I want to be into that. So they're just playing a show at the Bill Graham in San Francisco. So just hang out there for about 3 hours, catch the fishers, catch the fishies. And
what are their fans called? Are their fans called the Fishies? I imagine that kind of band would have people that just follow them around everywhere.
That is exactly what these guys do.
They took them to the airport so they could fly.
They go see multiple Phish shows every year. Both of them see a lot of live music, but Phish is there, especially for our friend Lewis, is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Lewis and I go back to Chicago, so he would go back there and see them a lot. And he's, you know, every once in a while he'll just be like, oh, I'm hopping on a plane, go and see Phish, and then adventure nearby wherever I'm going to see them. So, but yeah, they kind of follow them around. Hmm. Like they're
neat.
They're we got big kid jobs, so now we can have the dreams we always wanted as kids.
As I've become an affluent middle-aged person,
yeah,
I've enjoyed having the ability to actually go and see shows that I want to see in different places, and not scrounge all my money and hope that a band comes locally.
Yeah, that's it was kind of fun as a kid. Like, I do miss the, like, oh, this show's $5 for the local band and stuff. But then,
I mean, I still go to those shows.
Yeah, too. Those are great, but there would be, like, you always had your reserve. Just, oh, no, what if, like we were talking, Strung Out's going to be here this weekend. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, what if Strung Out shows up? I know they're on tour, and you know, we didn't have the internet. So
it was just the flyer in the back
of the flyer at the record local store. Newspaper. The game store, yeah, or something.
Whatever media-focused newspaper that you could find.
On the streetlights, like, our rule in our neighborhood was if anybody knew about a show, if there was a flyer that we saw at a show that you were kind of like maybe presumed you hadn't heard of it before, so mm-hmm. you presumed you were the first person to Xerox one of those and put it on. We just had a lamppost kind of close to my house, and that was like the show post. So everybody was like, our bus stop, our school bus stop was right near it. So mm-hmm. it was just like everybody like, oh, who's playing? So that was our jam. That was it right there. That's how we knew. That's how information was dispersed. That was our social media. God damn it, I'm old.
Yep. So old.
And because I'm old, segue, I played a lot of video games in my time. I don't know.
Thank you for saying segue.
If you didn't call it out, I would not notice that we were transitioning. I thought you were
going to get on a two-wheeled vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
And then back off a cliff.
I really hoped.
What's the hoverboard one? Swagway?
Swagway?
Swagway.
A hoverboard.
It's just hover.
I think they just call them a hoverboard.
What's it?
It's a Segway with no handles.
But I played a lot of video games in my life, and we talk about a lot of good video games on this here podcast. We discuss genres. And I think one time we had a fun little discussion about movie video games and video game movies and mm-hmm. vice versa, which also prompted a lot of, man, that game wasn't fun at all. So I got to thinking, and as you guys are aware, it's like, what if we talked about shit games? Games that were, in our view, when we played them, terrible.
Like Conker's Bad Fur Day?
No, shit not like games. That.
No, like that.
That was good, though.
That was a good game.
It was highly enjoyable.
A game that would be, that was honestly just an awful game. Terrible. Worthless. Like, why wasting my time with this? And probably for a variety of reasons. One of the things I was thinking, maybe we could talk about, like, how do we want to define these terms? What makes a bad game, first of all, if anybody has any thoughts on that, and how we would define what makes a bad game?
Sure. The first thing that pops in my head is brevity. Yeah. So, like, usually a terrible game is really short. Or, I guess, alternately, it could just never end. And it's so terrible you never want to finish it. But I've been through a game where I'm going through it and I'm like, this is all right, and it's just over.
And it's just done, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and I think that, or almost what you're getting at, because sometimes there's really good games that are fairly short, like you can finish in a few hours.
Mm-hmm. That leaves me wanting more, though.
Right, right. And
I think that's
the difference. But it's like a good,
like, oh, that sucked, I didn't even get into the game.
Yeah, yeah. The story not told well.
Yeah.
Is, or just like, oh, okay, what's going on? Oh, it's already over. It felt all like right. a waste of money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think another big thing is just a general frustrating play experience.
Yeah.
Whether that be like the controls are bad, or the like the rubber band effect is something that I find is really common in a lot of old games. Like if you start to do too well, the AI will compensate for you doing well to like offer a challenge and will become way better than it probably should be to catch up with you.
Yeah.
And so it will.
It doesn't grow.
It's like you're being punished for doing well.
Yeah.
In some games, or I mean, yeah, there are other examples I could give, but I think just generally a frustrating play experience, and that will be
That'll be one of my examples, actually, is...
It's gonna be
frustrating play experience.
I would say very similar hybrid of the two. It's usually like technical, where it's the controls suck, like there's a delay, they're soupy or floaty, not to make everything about graphics, but sometimes like if they don't pay enough attention to the art in the game, or they make too much of an emphasis. Thinking back to sometimes a lot of the maybe some of the more classic systems when they were like, oh, we used all this blah, 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 new technology to make this game. And it's like, that's great, but it's really slow and hefty and it doesn't really look all that good. Or they just kind of phoned it in sort of graphics. Mm-hmm. As well as, like you said, the brevity or the dragging it out. If there's no good story, I've read books that have been fantastic, and it's like, well, here's the end. And you're kind of left wanting more, but in a good way.
I think that's
good. But then there's other, like, you can have games that do that, but then there's others where it's just, I spent $40 on this.
There's no climax. It's just like linear, and then you're done.
You played some levels, and that's it. I'm over. Or it goes on too long, or the story doesn't have, like, it's really cobbled together. Just, we got this system, battle system or whatever that we want to try out. Let's just, fill in the blanks here. They played a game of like anagrams or something. They just took words and made it into other words. I think that's a pretty good summary of what makes a bad game. It's a mixture of how you feel about it, what you get from it, as well as technically how it controls, like how it operates, as a game. That is not to say, one of the other things I was thinking of too is like, this is not an episode to warn you against playing these games or to say never play this game, because this is from us, this is from our heads. Like, this game sucked. I didn't like this game at all. This game was terrible. Because I'm still a firm believer, if a lot of people say, or if I hear the opinion of, no, that game was terrible, I should still probably give it a shot. Maybe there's some people whose opinions I value very much, so I'll take that into account. If they say I didn't like it because of XYZ, and I might play it and say like, oh yeah, I can kind of see that. But there's other times where people say this game sucks, and I loved it, or it's like, oh no, this isn't that bad. I actually enjoy it.
Part of it is the different experiences that people have. Like, somebody's gonna like one experience versus another.
Right.
Somebody's gonna like a shooter, and another person's gonna hate shooters and only want to play driving games.
Yeah.
But then there's below that a layer where the game just doesn't function and doesn't do what it's supposed to do.
Right. Exactly. So don't take this as avoid these games at all costs.
Take everything we have to say as gospel.
As possible. But I still advocate that if a game is quote-unquote a known bad game, that you should never touch it. I still think, like, give it a whirl.
I think that we can all agree that Superman 64 is one of the worst games ever made, and no one should ever play it.
Shout out to our friend Mr. Bill George from shouldigoseeit.com, who I was texting him to discuss this episode with him. Hopefully we'll get him on the show for long. And his first example is like, well, Superman 64 comes to mind. It's like, so...
Yeah.
I love flying through rings.
Well, then let me tell you, I got a game for you. Don't worry.
I mean, wait a second. I love trying to fly through rings, being unsuccessful.
Unsuccessful. And then there's games that do it right. Pilot Wings did it great. Hell, even Mario 64. You had to fly through like different rings and shit like that for some of the cap levels.
Although that could be a little frustrating sometimes.
It could be a little frustrating. But
did you guys know that there's rings around Uranus?
Are there?
Yeah.
What do they smell like?
I mean... Use Klingons. The smelloscope.
They smell like Klingons.
Oh. I have no follow-up for that.
We all know what Klingons smell like. Winking. Wolf's face looks like a butt.
It looks like if someone was trying to make a plaster mold of a butt.
And failed.
No, he is the scooped out part that where someone sat, and then there's the ridge that goes up.
Oh, I see.
I don't want to have any concept of what your butt crack looks like.
Well, don't look at Worf's head.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Ever.
There's ridges on ridges and ridges.
Just look at...
A reverse Grand Canyon.
The things to look at are Patrick Stewart, Jonathan Frakes, and...
Jonathan Frakes season one and two, or post season three?
Like... post season 3 and on. That is the best when he's beard Riker.
Yeah, when unbearded, he's shaven Riker.
Unbearded Riker is unacceptable.
Yeah, and what's Deanna Troy? Not Gatch McFadden. She played the Doctor. Troy's.
Hottie sexy pants.
Yeah, just look at her a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she all right.
Yeah, she all right. Side note, one of my favorite episodes. This is like the eighth side note.
Ian is made of side notes. Side note for everyone, Ian's made of side notes. Go on, Ian.
There we go. One of my favorite episodes of Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher had her and Greg Graffin of Bad Religion as the guests, and it was fantastic. So there you go. A little bit of history. Anyways. Bad video games, shit games, rubbish games, terrible games. So we all came to the table.
Some of us came to the table with.
Some of us came to the table.
Others didn't do their homework.
There are some examples here.
Looking at me.
So there are some examples here. So we wanted to come, and then we also wanted to show up here.
Let's let Danny die first.
God damn it.
So, for this episode...
Back to our not-aside.
Back to our not-aside, all the way back to the theme of our podcast. I was waiting for you to react.
I never hated you more than I hated you.
There were several hard blinks that happened.
Yeah, there were. I mean, yeah, we need to make a sound effect for that. Just...
Like a Looney Tunes, like... Bling, bling.
Yeah, bling, bling. We just do like on a marimba. Like, bling,
bling, the high part of a xylophone.
Yeah, yeah. Bling, there you go. Bling. Yeah. Yeah, we got James. James will do it.
I'm gonna not look at Danny because every time I look at Danny, you're just gonna make that noise. I'm gonna go.
So we all of us have examples. We most of us have two examples of
several of us.
I got like 14 examples.
I'm taking Danny's examples, so it looks like I have some. More.
That's fine.
Than zero.
You can copy answers. That's totally fine.
Cool.
Saint the SAT.
I'm not giving him any of my answers, so it'll be a neat trick for him to take mine.
You should see where he's reaching.
I'm gonna wait for you to say it and then say that's my answer.
I was gonna say that. Oh, damn.
God. I vote we make James go first.
That's fine.
Well, I figured we'd start with maybe our modern example. So we're coming to the table with a modern example. So that would be PS3, Xbox, Wii, up to current. And then a classic example, a retro or vintage title. So that would be...
anything prior to
that. Yeah, anything prior to that. So like that GameCube, PS2, Xbox, and earlier would be classic representation. So do you want to start with... Should we start with modern?
Sure.
Should we start with some modern games? Dandy, do you want to go first? I feel like you said like you had... You had a couple of modern
games. I think I can narrow it down to one that was pretty unsatisfactory in general. So I get my PS4.
Okay.
Oh,
my PS4. My family all like pitched in and for my birthday they basically picked up a PS4 for
me. Yeah.
Was this when it was relatively new?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
That's important when you're talking about games.
I remember you got
it
pretty early.
Games,
yeah, so it's definitely... So I think... PS4
had that launch window where it's like, here's our launch games that come out in the next 8 months.
Right. So it comes out. I think I got it... So my birthday is in April. So it was a few months after
What's your social security number?
I'll write it down. We'll put it in the description. Next to a list of my fears, blood type...
Address.
Yeah, address, all that. So
your fear boners...
So there's list those?
Oh yeah.
Please go on.
There's a handful of titles that have come out at this point, and one of the things God damn it. I'm gonna get through this.
Got it together.
Blink, blink. Back on topic, let's go.
So one of the games that gets picked up is Knack for the PS4.
Ooh, good call.
It looked interesting. You are this weird little shape-shifting robot guy who's made of all sorts of pyramids and spheres. And as you go through the game, it's sort of like a beat-em-up quasi-platformer adventure game. And as you go through the game, you gain power-ups and you become this sort of like big ogre-ish robo monster. And I had seen, videos from before the PS4 was coming out and they were advertising Knack as a launch title. And I was like, oh man, that looks interesting. So I asked for that. So I get it and I play it. In the first level, hey, this is kind of interesting. Second level, okay, it's exactly the same thing. Third level, okay, it's exactly the same thing, but now it's a slightly different setting. And it just repeats and it is repetitive. The controls are poor. Mm. The story is boring. The characters are boring. I felt like I played for a significant amount of time, but never really felt like I got anywhere. And I was constantly frustrated by either how easy or how difficult the game was. Mm. It was either way too easy and I just breezed through the level, or I would get stuck on this one part and just play it over and over and over and over again to try to get past it. And it was a completely unsatisfying experience, especially given that I felt like it was one of the titles they were pushing as like a, hey, get a PS4.
Right.
Look at this cool new game that's coming out with the PS4. So Knack is my modern choice for a shit game that I feel like probably people could spend their time playing a different game.
That's a really good example. And to tack on to that, I think one of the biggest letdowns of that game was the hype that was built up for it.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, like you said, hey, you got a PS4, get this game. And the reason that it was so big is the creator of that game was Mark Cerny. And Mark Cerny in the gaming world has an amazing pedigree. Like when he was in his late teens, he developed, did you ever play the arcade game Marble Madness? And eventually came to, so this was like, it had that 3/4 isometric view, had like all kinds of new animation and like really great processing. Like that was his baby. Like he did a lot of the electrical engineering, a lot of the program for that game, and really set himself up. That game kind of went down in history as like, this is one of the best arcade games ever. And it was ported to a billion different platforms. That was Mark Cerny, and he was like young prodigy. And then he kept making his mark at working at like Insomniac Games and Naughty Dog. And then he was one of the architects of the PS4. So it kind of had this pedigree of like, hey, I've got this game idea. Really want to push this through. And they're like, fuck, yeah, you're Mark Cerny. What the hell? And maybe in some ways it might have been an experiment on his part, but it had that huge hype behind it. It's like, oh, Mark Cerny's doing this. Like, he's always done amazing stuff and still does amazing. Like, especially if you look at the design and the architecture of the PS4, it's like, this is a really well-made system.
Yeah.
But and it's like, oh, and it's like, there's a launch game's going to be a Mark Cerny game, and then So you have that hype, and then falls flat. And that's a big thing that can make a bad game.
Yeah, I feel like they could have... I'm not 100% sure what they should have tweaked, but it needed just a little something to break up the monotony. Yeah. Like,
apparently Knack 2 is on the way, or like a sequel.
Well, I hope it's better than Knack 1.
Yeah, right.
But they...
I hope they get the knack of making that game.
Hey. There he is, guys.
I'll go set up the drums.
Danny Blank. Yeah, I think that if they had done something to sort of explore more of the transforming nature, like, I don't know, give you a form where you can like fly around, or where you, I don't really know.
You could be a plant person or made out of goo, like a blob.
Yeah, whatever.
Like a slime being of sorts.
Oh, God.
A slime being.
Go on, just keep going. Just get all the way there.
Well, now it's no fun.
No, I don't want to. Don't want to talk about slime people having sex.
Wind out of my sails. I just want to look at slime people having sex.
We already did that, Ian.
Well, let's do it again.
Can we not?
The rest of the podcast, just...
Whoa! Ew, look at that.
Wait, what?
How does that...
Oh, you have to rotate it.
Ew. That's what she said.
Rotate 42
That's what
degrees.
Shin said.
That's what Slime said. So anyway, Knack could have used a little spicing up and better pacing and probably overall been a much shorter game. Mm. And it would have been a bit more successful.
Yeah, good example. James, do you have a modern one? Do you want me to go? Or
I have one in my head, but I think people may disagree.
That's fine.
That's all right.
This is a
like
shit game to you and why you feel it's a shit game. And then everyone yell at us on Twitter and email.
I also may get flack for this opinion, but do you remember the King Kong movie with Jack Black?
Yes. Mm.
I liked the movie. but there was a video game that came out.
I don't think
out.
I ever actually saw it.
And I did not like the video game.
I didn't like either.
That's
but okay, but I felt like I didn't consume either piece.
The video game had, depending on which platform you played it on and what your TV was at the time, it either had decent graphics and effects or really like jerky, broken graphics and not very good effects. And the game itself was really short. It kind of just ended. Like, you went through it and you're like having a good time and kind of reliving the movie, and then it just ends. And you're like, that's not even the whole movie. Like, you didn't even get to the end of the movie.
We're going to stop at the 14th scene.
Like, did I even get off the island? I don't think so.
I doubt it.
And so it was a bunch of mini games, which are fine on their own, like as part of a greater game, but I felt like that was all that was there.
Yeah.
And. So, I don't know. It was just a letdown.
Yeah, that was... It probably harkens back to our games and movies discussion, where it's such a...
And I was looking for one that wasn't a movie game, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, as we discussed before, that category of games based on movies is just rife with shit games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just full of... Because your expectations are completely different. Like, your expectation is the movie in the game. Or vice versa. Like, if you go and watch a movie made out of a video game, you know, I expect the same emotional experience that I had from the game, and you might not get it.
Uwe.
So. Uwe.
Fucking Uwe.
Resident Evil. Yeah. That. So, King Kong, the game.
Yeah.
Of the movie.
Yes.
We're bad.
Yeah. Like, that's all about beating up Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah,
as a giant gorilla.
As a giant gorilla.
And we can all agree that Primal Rage was a great arcade fighter.
Oh, man. That was... I hold the distinction... Am I the only one at this table who holds the distinction of playing the prototype Primal Rage 2 arcade game? Did you ever... In any of your trips to Chicago, did you ever go to the Galloping Ghost Arcade?
No.
Next time you're... When you go for Riot Fest, hop the Metro train. Just a little bit outside of town. Go to the Galloping Ghost Arcade. They're open from like 1 p.m. till 4 a.m.
Okay.
It's like $15 all you want to play. They have a library of like 800 arcade games, and they keep like 200-something of them in rotation, whatever at the time. They fix them all up, and they have several games that were just prototype boards that never ended up being released, and were eventually they acquired them, or the original creators were like, hey, here you go. You guys are doing it. So they have the Primal Rage 2 the last prototype version of it, if they were going to get ready for production, but it ended up not going into production, and you can actually play it there. So I actually got to play it. And it's not bad.
Was there really not good. A Primal Rage 2?
No.
That was retail released?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because, it was just the... Unless something, there was a Primal Rage that never came out. That was a prototype, and I believe it was Primal Rage 2. But I don't think it ever got a proper sequel. Might have been 3, but I think it was just 2. But yeah, it was a prototype game. So Galloping Ghost Arcade in Chicago. Actually outside of Chicago. It's one of the suburbs. One of the suburbs. You just go to Chicago, hang out in Chicago.
I'm going to go to Chicago.
Yeah, because it's great.
Like,
and then,
on Sunday.
Yeah, you take the Metro to Galloping Ghost Arcade, and it's like $15 for all you want to play. And it's super cool.
And that's like King Kong. The game of the movie.
The game of the movie.
Are you trying to bring it back? Is that what that was?
I'm trying.
Okay.
Because there you can play Primal Rage 2. Ape can fight a Tyrannosaurus, you can do in a terrible sense.
Redeemed.
In King Kong the game.
Redeemed.
Who was in the River Wild with Kevin Bacon?
Footloose.
Anyways. All right, so my modern example that I'm bringing to the table, the little game for the Wii U.
Wii U!
Called Mario Party 10.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, so 10,000 foot view, if you have never played a Mario Party game, it's probably all right.
You're probably not that great.
Probably a terrible person. Or you're like 5.
Also, like, probably not that great of a person.
Yeah, I know.
Have you met a 5-year-old?
I have.
Yeah.
He's a dick.
He's a dick.
They don't know.
But he's cool. He's a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on.
So if this was your first, it's still, even if it was your first Mario Party game, let's say you know, you're too young. The 10th one was your first one because you're too young to have an N64.
You never started in that era. This just means you're young.
Yeah,
nope. You old fuck.
we are old pieces of shit, and I don't think.
Yeah, well established.
Yeah, established pieces of shit. So if it was your first Mario Party game, it would be a pieces of shit established circa 1984. That was 84. What were you?
86.
All right.
80.
God, you're so old. You called me an old fuck? Look at you, fucking sons of bitches.
Are you 30 yet?
I just turned 30.
That's right. Yeah.
You got her to 30.
You gonna be dead soon.
Probably after you.
Look,
yeah, still have time to drag my old wrinkled ass on your grave.
I plan to die, but...
Because of the worms?
40.
Yeah.
You're like scraping him out on his grave set.
Yes.
Yeah, my death at 40 will probably happen.
Here's hoping. Good. Fingers crossed.
If only. But yeah, if it was your first Mario Party game, because you are a young piece of shit, and not an old piece of shit, it would be an okay game. Be like, all right, this is kind of fun. But if you've ever played Mario Party before, and I know all of us at the table have, but I would say most of us played the original.
If you played it before 8, like 7 and earlier.
If you have this down to a number science, then that's... I played through 3 or 4 when I was
10. I played the one that was in the machine where I was playing it.
In the Matrix. The Matrix machine. The reverse Matrix. Trinity's still hot.
Why do we keep going back to the Matrix?
Because
we all want to be ladies, but we're men.
Yeah. And we all still have the hots for Trinity.
Wait, when do I get my trench coat and glasses?
Never.
Oh.
I just want a sick duster.
With like a cowboy hat?
Just like a drifter and like, the sheriff won't keep me out of town.
Yeah.
Lousy sheriff. Show him.
I'll show him.
We definitely hopped genres from dark sci-fi to
drifter western.
Western.
We go to Trigon, and one of us be like a drunken alcoholic priest.
No, it's like
people.
I was thinking like Blade Runner.
Oh, Blade Runner would be cool. Mm-hmm.
That's sci-fi. He had like a duster thing, right? Or was that a trench coat?
Let's all pull our money and buy a copy of Snatcher for Sega CD. Because that's a great game.
What are we even talking? I don't even know
what
that
is. It was like a Blade Runner thing. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Keep up, Danny.
Keep up with this terrible podcast.
You two assholes are the only two people I've ever met that have played anything on Sega CD.
We can fix that. Do you want to play some Sega CD games?
No. Let's do it right fucking now.
Right fucking now.
All
right,
let's go.
I don't have a Sega CD here, actually.
This is Donkey Kong. All right, you fooled me. No, you fooled me. You didn't even fool me. You just lied to me. Mario Party 10.
Sounds like
awful,
sex.
Awful game.
What he was talking about there. You fooled me. No, you fooled me. No, I lied to you. That's how you have sex.
Yeah. And that's how babies are made.
Yep.
I smell sex and candy.
Yeah.
Jesus. Mercy Playground. Got to be able to get that reference,
Mario
too.
Party 7 and before.
Mario Party 7 before.
I'm bringing it back.
That's the acceptable Mario Parties after 7. 5 through 7, mediocre.
Yeah.
The 1 Ocho? Through 4, great.
Great.
After great. 7,
so you're a Mario Party
probably
hipster.
You are
a Mario Party hipster.
Would you say Mario Party 2 is the best?
I used to play
Because I feel
Mario
like it,
Party.
It took what... Because 1 was great. I had a great time with it. And I feel like 2 took its shortcomings and turned it into wins.
Plus, you get cool themed costumes on every level.
Yeah. Also, 1 and 2, I believe, were developed by Nintendo, and then they farmed out several of the others. Like, i.e. Mario Party 10 was farmed out.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So, this 10, in my opinion, was awful. And the experience was, I bought it, because we were going to have some friends over. They're chilling at our place. They look.
You wanted to have a Mario party.
We wanted to have a Mario sex party. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Did we not already establish that? Okay, anyways. Yeah. So
there you are. You're in your leather zipper suit.
I'm Yoshi. Like you do.
Controller in hand.
In one hand. Something else in the other.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Somebody. Boop, boop.
Uh,
It really gets me off when Mario punches me in the back of the head, so I stick my tongue out. Go look at the animation for Super Mario World.
No, I know. I'm a big fan.
It'll blow your fucking mind. All right, let me get through this shit storm.
You keep interrupting yourself.
These things happen. These right? things,
yeah.
It's unavoidable.
It happens really. With age.
Yeah. Danny. I mean, look at him, for God's sake.
Where am I? Who am I? I'm so old. it was so Mario Party 10 is. Oh,
just go.
Just go. All right. So all the other Mario Parties, you were, it was like a board game. Like you were your own like little piece on the board. In this one, everybody's in a car. You're all in the same fucking car.
How many people can you fit in a car? Is it like a van?
It's like a clown car. So well, the game can hold four people to play at max.
Wait, so you're in a car together?
Yes.
So you move all of the same place?
Yes. Everybody moves to the same place.
So that's you just go way. In a line. There's yep. not like it's, different pathways yeah, and
there's
stuff?
There's no different pathways. There might be... I should say there are different pathways, like, but they're tiny.
You can get carjacked?
No.
Do you get put up on cinder you blocks?
Go to, yeah, you have to unlock the hood, game board. But
going through a Koopa neighborhood,
yeah, man, this is a bad Koopa neighborhood. There's a bunch of Goombas around here, yo. Shit,
Toad just locking his window.
Oh no! Oh no! Oh! Oh shit! Christ,
go on.
It's good. Yeah, so you're all in a car. Think like the game of life. Where you just cram a bunch of people into a car and drive
you
around.
Draw a card and now you have four kids.
And you have four kids. Yeah.
That's fucked.
And that's life.
It doesn't...
So that also, as you can imagine, cuts down to the amount of mini games that you can play, which mm-hmm. are not very frequent to begin with. Hmm. And that's kind of the point of Mario Party to me is... Different ports of the board game, and you might get like this time you get a coin reward this time, but then somebody's gonna get a mini game, and if nobody gets a mini game, you're still gonna want to play a mini game once the round is done. Mm-hmm. And those are a lot of fun. Sometimes you might play the same one like several times, but it's cool because you might get better than before, you might do better than last time. But so this just cuts down the amount of mini games. The mini games that are there are kind of meh. There's nothing really new to them. It's evolutions on the same stuff from before. Nothing terribly creative. There's this... Nintendo still has that hookup to use the gamepad. Like, you don't even use the gamepad, really. But it has to be there. Just at least to show you how many rounds until Bowser's released. Which complicates matters because he just steals shit from you. But... And then it just ends up, like, once you finally reach the end of the game board, which is not very big, there's a few divergent paths, but it doesn't really take you long to get through a game board. It comes to the end, and really the winner is arbitrary. Like, Bowser just kind of decides. It's just kind of sort of, or whatever is decided for you. It's like, oh, this person is probably the prettiest flower. Here you go, you win the game. And so, yeah, there might be some skill element involved. We kept trying to figure, there would be some times where it's like, okay, well, so, like, actually, our friend Lewis, him and his husband Brandon were playing with us. And Lewis had, like, the most coins one game. And he kind of won something for that. But he didn't win the whole game. And it was really weird. I couldn't figure it. But it was still so sold on that gamepad mechanic. Which didn't make good use of the gamepad. And it's like, it just...
It sounds like somebody that was not Nintendo made that
game. Yeah. There was just the sheer lag. I think of like Mario Party 1, 2, 3, 4, and there was a ton of creativity. Yeah, it's the same mechanics, the same idea you're playing. It's a party game, and everybody's playing a board game on a video game and joining in for mini games and all this other stuff. But there's a lot of creativity involved. And God damn it, some of those games, it could be like Risk. Some of those games could go on forever.
Yeah.
Especially if you took like, let's make the game 40,000 turns.
Right.
Jesus Christ. So this ended up, we played a round. And we're like, ah, fuck this. And so I went and downloaded Mario Party 2 from the virtual console.
And then we played
that and drank until like 3 a.m.
Great game.
And it was awesome. So by contrast, hey, here's this modern shiny game that's hearkening back to this group game classic of old. And it's just garbage. So it's like, oh, let's just go play the old game because it actually has far more substance right. than anything
and
else.
And it's actually just fun.
Yeah. It was. We had a blast. I think we set it to the max amount of turns. And it almost had that fun element of, Jesus Christ, there's only five turns left. Let's just get through this shit. And just that fun. We've been drinking all night. But right. took me back to when I was 12 and we were all playing.
And drinking.
And drinking.
Like you do.
Like you do when you're 12. Drinking Mountain Dew. Up until 4. Or 5. Or just not going to sleep. But just at some friend's house and playing the game. Eating terrible food, drinking sugar, and it had that same, like, going back to the old one had that same feel. This one had none of the same nostalgia. It's like, oh, the game's already over and none of us had fun.
Great. Well, good. That was lame.
Good, great, grand, wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
So that's the modern element. I will say I had a little bit of trouble picking out a modern game. I think maybe because I'm a little bit more selective. I was chatting with Patrick, a frequent guest friend of the show. About this, and he was saying, he's like, man,
look, there he is.
Yeah, we have foam sound absorbing Patrick with us this time.
He's the strong silent type today.
But he was saying, man, now that I'm old, I'm a game snob. If something doesn't really, he's like, I don't spend the money on it because I don't have the time to play it.
Yeah.
If it's bad. Yeah. So there's probably a lot more examples. I was trying to come up with a few, but I felt it was kind of hard to come up with a modern example of a game.
I have now forgotten what my second example was, but
that's okay.
Because we're
gonna move on to classic games. So this is PS2, GameCube, Xbox,
and earlier.
Especially if you've forgotten.
Especially,
it's your fault.
Yeah, let's just keep on keeping on.
Danny, your favorite classic example of a shit game.
So this one might be a little controversial. I'm going back to the NES era. And in the NES days, games didn't always, or many of them did not have a save function or like a way to,
it was real, man. It was like the arcade.
Yeah. Like you either you put beat a quarter the game in one sitting or you didn't beat it.
Wasn't Legend of Zelda like one of the first to have a battery backup or one of the earliest? I think something like that.
Sure.
Is that a true fact, James?
Yeah.
Right. Let me look.
All right.
Check. James is our truthsayer, established previous
podcast. This is me typing.
I'm just a soothsayer.
Yeah.
Sooth.
Okay. So one of the games that I had for the NES, where I was going with that was games didn't often have a save, and so they were treated a lot like arcade games. And so this led to the coining of the phrase Nintendo Hard, which meant the games were extremely difficult in order to sort of prolong the challenge so that you couldn't just beat the game easily. You had to keep coming back and trying again and again. And so they made a lot of games very difficult to sort of, quote-unquote, increase the replayability. So you'd be like, maybe this time I'll beat it. Right? This is even... this game didn't even have the whole, like, create a... the big old, like, text string for me to use as my save code.
That's for pussies. Yeah.
Like games like Faxanadu.
Yeah.
For NES. Yeah, Metroid, Punch-Out.
You're supposed to just leave it on and like unplug it from your TV so your mom doesn't know that Nintendo's on.
Yeah, although in my case, my parents were the ones who actually bought the NES for themselves before I was born. So they actually knew to look for the power light on the NES. So anyway, so the game that was Nintendo hard and ultimately very frustrating play experience for me was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh shit. I can see why that's controversial.
And so I love the Ninja Turtles property. The cartoon was great. The best part about the entire game is the music.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. But
that game was the
controls are fucking terrible in that game. They're so bad.
Yeah.
No one can get past the fourth level except like once every like 20 tries. And that is the water level, which are notoriously
once
terrible.
Once a generation.
It's so awful.
The hero of time.
If you've never played the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game for the NES, the fourth-ish level is a water level, which have historically always been bad. And in this, you have to go and disarm a bunch of like underwater mines that are going to like blow up an island or something. Manhattan, I believe. And you have to swim around. And there's all these fucking like electro seaweed things that kill you, and it's like pixels make the difference in navigating your way through this.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating, especially when you're like six trying to play this game, and it makes you just want to like smash your damn
NES. That game was hard as shit.
I can hear the noise of your health.
Yeah.
Just the worst.
I'm fucked.
It's a nightmare.
Yep. Just the worst.
I'm just thinking of six-year-old James.
I'm fucked.
Pretty much.
sitting in front of
the music was fucking rad.
So good.
The music was amazing.
Yeah.
And then
the game was incredibly frustrating.
Yeah. So frustrating.
100% subsequent TMNT games were great.
Yes. And that's just it. Like the arcade games were all fantastic.
Oh, man.
The Super Nintendo had Turtles in Time. And
which even had an NES release. I think that was actually pretty decent. They did like anyways, but they were good games.
The original one was fucking awful.
Yeah, I remember it being terrible.
It just created sticks in my brain as one of the most frustrating NES plagues.
But you could play as all four turtles and like you could die.
Don't worry, they all look the same, and the sound effects for their weapons are terrible.
Yeah,
that's true.
But you had like four lives because there were four turtles, and you just kill them all.
That's true. Donatello's bow staff sounded like this. What is that? Does he have a laser?
It's a bow staff, bro. It's a bro staff.
Thought you knew.
Yeah. So anyway, my submission for a classic title of shit game is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
All right. That's going to the annals of history.
Oh, it was already there long before we talked about it.
Way up there. James. Your classic example of a garbage
game. My classic
example
is going to be a letdown as well. I'm just setting everyone up for my letdowns.
I'm always let down.
We've talked about it before. I think that it has a lot of controversy and mystery around it. But E.T. the Extraterrestrial for the Atari.
Yeah. There's a lot of controversy surrounding that one.
Yeah. Really it has the whole mythology of, like, did they bury it in a landfill? Yeah. And then subsequently excavating said landfill and actually finding cartridges.
Yeah. Have you watched that documentary?
Atari about Game them? Over?
I've not seen that.
Oh, it's great.
It's super great, yeah.
Especially if you have any interest in that whole...
Atari Game Over. Go. I think it's still on Netflix. If not, just go buy it, whatever. That is a great documentary.
Anyway, go on.
But yeah, so like the game itself came out and it was... The story of it that we've said before is... Spielberg wanted a vehicle for marketing. Yeah. This guy who'd made other games. Howard Scott Warshaw said he could do it.
He had a pedigree. Man, that guy was a fucking gaming genius.
Taken him a year to make a game, 9 months to make a game, and then Spielberg said, we need a game by fall, so we need
5 weeks.
5 weeks. And he's like, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And so the game came out at Christmas time, and a bunch of people bought it, and it was a surge because everyone like, I want to play the E.T. game, of course.
E.T., yeah.
And then people got it home, and E.T.'s like jumping in holes. It was like, find the hole with the Reese's Pieces in it, and that was the whole game.
It was unfinished. And yeah, it was just...
Just terrible mechanics, terrible gameplay, and... People started canceling their orders at stores, like retail stores would say, I want to buy this many, and then just would cancel them after the hype came back, and it was super negative. So not a successful game financially, not a successful game in terms of fun gameplay, and they ended up throwing a bunch of them away.
And it's sold...
In a landfill in the desert.
Yeah.
And it sold upwards of 1 million copies.
Yeah.
Is the... approximate figure for that, and then even more copies, like there were returns and even more copies just in New Mexico desert. Just man, that game, I remember the Atari 2600 was my first console because it was, we didn't have a lot of money and it was super cheap by the time I was like old enough to have a video game system, so I got the plastic one. I didn't even have the wooden one, but it was they had moved to the plastic one,
right.
And I had some older friends who just gave me like boxes of games from their Ataris, and I remember plugging in E.T. I was like 5 or 6, and I didn't even know like it was a garbage game, but just playing like I have no idea what's happening here, no idea what's going
what
on. By contrast,
am I supposed to do?
I was like, I'm in a hole. What happens? I don't know. And then I would turn it off and put in Pitfall or Pitfall 2, which was actually really great. By contrast, but yeah, it was. I've come to learn later in life, and I think the controversy is like the game actually. does some cool things and actually has some pretty cool programming.
It just isn't all there.
It's just not done.
Yeah. Like, there's no fault. Like, they didn't have time.
And it's a garbage
to make it happen.
Yeah. It's like, good ideas, but what is it? The road to hell is paved with good intentions?
Sure.
Sure.
All right.
E.T. the Extraterrestrial. But Atari Game Over, go watch that. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's a really... And Howard Scott Warshaw is interviewed constantly in it, and they take him back to, like, the old... He's a psychotherapist now, which is really interesting. But
did he have to do that because of the lack of success?
I think he's also, like, it's the moment you look at him, you're like, this guy's kind of a hippie, and it's like, all right, I'm done being a game designer. Maybe I'll be a therapist.
Yeah, I'll help people with their mind stuff.
With their mind, with their brain.
That's kind of what the conversation was like.
Yeah, very much so.
He's just an old hippie.
Like, yeah, that's really what it is. Because it was Silicon Valley in the
70s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just an old, just crunchy hippie.
It was the first kind of example of, like, we're a tech company and we're rolling in money. They had playrooms, and this is in 1970. We think that's a concept of the dot-com era and such. But it was like, it's Atari. We make video games. Everybody have fun. We like... Noel Bushnell was like, the office should be a fun place. Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak got their start at Atari.
Right.
And just had a blast there. And a lot of it was having fun and doing drugs and going to work. But E.T. Good example. I was kind of wondering if one of us would mention E.T.
Yeah.
And I was almost
hoping. I assumed one of the four of us here would. Patrick?
Good
point.
Good example, Patrick. Mm-hmm. Very good. All right. So
what's your example?
Am I going to finish this off? I'll finish this off.
Ian was making a hand masturbation motion. Did you guys know? Speaking. This is an aside.
Yeah, let's go.
As long as it's not me making these.
There is porn for the blind. There's descriptive.
Discussing this. Yes. Yeah.
Descriptive. Not subtitles isn't the right word, dubbed in instruction or like recap of what's going on.
Yeah.
For hardcore porn.
Is it just someone describing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I kind of wonder, because often, like, if you watch pornography, I feel like if you close your eyes, the acting is already describing, oh yes, take your blah and put it in blah. And so it's like, man,
this, wait, this you guys is don't be... talk like that when you're having sex?
Are we supposed to?
Am I doing it wrong? Are we not supposed to?
Danny's just super formal in the bedroom.
Are we all doing it
wrong? I say.
Oh, I say.
Formal request to insert a finger.
In my bum.
What say you?
What say you, good woman?
Or man. Or slime.
We really got to get off this slime kick.
No way, man.
No, we need to get you on the slime kick.
Get you on that slime kick, bruh.
Yeah. Way on that kick. So my example.
Okay, go on.
I'll save you. Example. Not as far back as the Atari. A little bit further ahead than the NES is on the Sega Genesis. It is a little game from a much beloved franchise called Sonic 3D Blast.
Oh, okay.
For the Sega Genesis. Anybody here play it? Anybody play it?
I don't think I ever played 3D Blast.
Patrick? Oh, Patrick. Yeah, he beat it.
Yep.
He beat it in 2 seconds.
Figures.
He beat it, and then after that, he played the game.
Hey-o!
Hey-o!
That's a masturbation joke.
So I'll give you Sonic 3D Blast's first problem. It came out in 1996. The Sega Saturn was launched in 1995.
Yes.
So this is already, you can kind of already see the problem because of history, that this is kind of a crossover title where the new thing is already out. They're already making things for the new thing. And then, well, there's still people with the old thing. Because the old thing...
They have money still.
They have some money. They don't have the money for the new thing because the Sega Genesis was maybe $200 for the two controllers and game system, and they paid that years ago. The Sega Saturn's $400.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. I remember saving up that money to buy the Sega Saturn in 1995. So, Sonic 3D Blast came out for both the Saturn and the Genesis. So it was kind of like that Twilight Princess thing where it came out for like GameCube and Wii. So you kind of already kind of see the first problems here. Right. Nonetheless, the game was equally terrible on both. We're going to focus on the Genesis here. We're going okay. to zero in on the Sega Genesis. So by coming out Phil a Collins year later, you can kind of tell it was already
I'll an be afterthought. Your sledgehammer.
Thank yeah. you. You can kind of tell it was already an afterthought. Like, this is like, fuck. But, well, a bunch of people still have this. Maybe we can still make some money. And it's Sonic, and everybody wants a Sonic 3D adventure.
Totally.
And who especially, doesn't? Oh, if we can do it on the Genesis, might as well. They made Virtua Racer on the Genesis. So, why can't we do it? Then that was probably another shit games episode, but no, I'll spare you that. So, Sonic 3D Blast had... Did everybody here play Super Mario RPG? I know you have. James, did you ever play it?
Yeah, man, I played it.
You may have played it. So you remember the viewpoint? It was like a. you
didn't. Danny's look of disappointment is so wonderful when I say things like that.
Yeah,
I turned it on and I was like, "Oh, this is an RPG game." Boop.
Never mind.
Let's go kill stuff.
But you remember how it looked? It was a 3/4 isometric view. So you're kind of like up in that top left corner,
just the down. God view. As I like to call
the
it.
The God view. The side
the,
God.
The view. Slanted God view?
Slanting.
The God Asian view. God view.
Oh, God.
Wow. Wow. All right, then.
Send your hate mail to podcast@thebitpub.com.
James at...
Look, I don't care which way your eyes slant. I love y'alls.
Seriously,
he does. Nice recovery.
He will love all of you.
He'll love all y'all at once.
All night long.
I don't care how tired you are.
Slime, slanty, not slanty.
Up, slime down. Eyes are my favorite.
Up, down, left, right, blue, slime eyes, red, slime green. Eyes.
I think that's what happens.
You're just naming directions and colors now.
I think that's what happens after the sex is done. The slime eyes.
That's when you fart on someone's pillow, you get the slime eyes. When it's somebody else, it's called pink eye.
Oh. All right. I was thinking if you fire a little too aggressively, then you have your other participant has a slime eyes.
Like a Bukkake incident?
I mean, that is one example of when that might come up, yeah.
Come up, got you.
Come up, come on, come around. Bukkake's great, Danny.
So, 3D Blast.
Speaking Sonic of, 3D Blast.
Speaking
Sonic
of 3D blasting people in the
Sonic
eyes.
3D come blast. Wait a minute.
Wow.
Yeah. Sonic 3D Blast. Blast. So it had...
You ever wanted to have a simulated facial from a hedgehog?
Yes. Sounds painful.
This is the game for you.
This is it.
Go on.
That's a really good description.
So, that was the tagline, I think, when they were selling it. Have you ever wanted to have a simulated fish from a hedgehog?
Do I?
Buy this game.
That's my fetish.
That's what I did. I'm into it.
Sega!
Sega! It also had a really weird... Sega intro. You remember in the past it was like Sega. It would actually sing Sega. The Sega theme. This one was like their commercial shouting thing. It was like Sega. It's just like, why is this game already yelling at me?
Yeah,
yeah. It was funny on the commercials, especially the Joe Montana football one. That was great. I'll put a link to that one in the notes because that was one of my favorites. So it had the 3/4 isometric view, which if you played Super Mario RPG, you're kind of in the top left corner looking down.
Nope, I'm getting there.
You know that it makes depth perception a little difficult. It works fine in an RPG because the jumping elements were few and far between. It was a little frustrating, but it was like, wait, how far is this from here? I can't really see how far away this is. This is a platformer. Think of a 2D Sonic game.
It's not supposed to be 3D if it's 2D game.
Shifted into that. So this is part of the difficult transition from 2D to 3D games. How do you take something that worked well and worked great in a 2D environment and everybody's saying, hey, there's everything's 3D now, we want this in 3D. It doesn't necessarily mean it works well. So you already had problems as a platformer from this point of view. Jumping, finding targets was already very difficult. On top of that, speaking back to our original, like, what makes a bad game bad, it had pretty terrible controls. They were floaty and slippery at the same time.
So floaty and slippery?
How does that even work?
So you could start running really fast, but then if you tried to stop or you tried to move, it just felt like you were constantly on an oil slick for everything. Like, Sonny tried to move. You could hit the B button, so you could do the little spin dash thing to actually kind of reverse you a little bit. That was that was the mitigating factor of it. But then
what noise did that make? There you go.
Yeah. I did sound effects for the Sega Genesis sound chip, which we all know was all weird as it was. Yeah, that was right on. If you tried to jump, you went way farther than you expected to. Like, Sonic already had kind of like a far jump thing, but
he was supposed to go fast. He's a hedgehog.
Yeah, but it was already, you kind of felt that with the physics of it. So it was like, oh, he's already at a great momentum, so his jump will be further, whatever. This was just awful timing, awful distance measurement for everything. And then on top of it, you'd have to jump on things or jump to other platforms. And so it was certainly a good achievement in graphics, I guess you could say. Like, mm-hmm. we're doing different almost polygons here. We're getting like spheroid objects a lot better. But it just did not work in that platform. Then trying to like beat a boss, like every level you have Robotnik coming in, and sometimes he's in a floating machine. And then already having trouble figuring out like where you were,
how to jump
of everything,
dodging.
How do I hit this and break? And then other times he'd be static, and it's like, this is super easy. Why was this easy? Why was this super hard 2 levels ago? You would also, very classic to Sonic, you would lose rings every time you got hit. Okay, that's fine, whatever. But you had to capture these things called flickies, which were like birds, because Robotnik decided to capture all of these and turn them into robots or use them for something or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got hit by something, you have to collect all these flickies every level. And if you got hit by something, you'd lose those rings and those flickies would fly everywhere.
So then rings you have to go and flickies. Back to, it wasn't just rings and it wasn't just flickies.
Yep, then you'd have to go back and collect all and make sure they didn't all That's get away. Annoying. Yeah, it was just super annoying. So it was like, this is bad control. It's like, okay, they're trying a new concept, trying some new graphics, trying to push something to the limits, which is totally fine. But we're putting a platformer in a view angle, in a three-quarter view angle, in which it's already difficult to determine depth and height from where you are. We're going to make the controls. I would say they translated the controls direct from 2D, which is not a good thing.
Not if it's
really
3D.
A terrible thing. And then on top of it, you have the bad mechanics of, okay, Sonic's life is rings. You know, as long as you have a ring, you're gonna keep living. It's fine.
You basically have two HP at any given time.
Yeah, exactly. But you also lost the rings and the things that you're trying to finish this fucking level to complete. So then you'd have to go back and collect them all and then get it back. And it was, and the I gotta see, unfortunately, this is definitely the Sega Genesis version, which probably suffered the most. The Saturn version at least had somewhat of a redeeming soundtrack, but it's still, the controls were slightly better, but it still suffered quite a bit. Also, Saturn added load times. So, because
we're not talking about jizz there.
No. Wait, yes, we are.
Why can't it be both?
Yeah, it is. It's always both.
Okay.
So Sonic 3D Blast, most especially.
The load times of the blast.
Load, yeah.
In 3D.
Yeah. Huge load blasts
coming right at you.
Yeah, 3/4 isometric,
3 different dimensions.
That goes on my
getting this in the z-axis.
This
know what
was
I mean.
All the way in that z-axis.
Way up there.
Pachinko.
Drew Carey.
All right. No. But so that's my classic shite game.
Well then.
There we go. That's all the terrible games. All 6 of them.
That's all of the ones that matter because we 3 people said them.
I want to give an honorable mention to Bomberman 64.
Uh-huh.
So I really liked the old school Bomberman games.
I love Bomberman. I think I played Bomberman 64.
Bomberman 64 was an attempt at making Bomberman like an adventure game where you collected like these weird little
like
costume pieces.
They tried that shit with Mega Man and it didn't work out well.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it was an interesting attempt that kind of fell down. It was a frustrating game. So anyway, that's my honorable mention. No further description required.
Did you mean dishonorable mention?
Your dishonorable discharge?
Eh.
Ouch, here.
I dishonorably discharged all over it.
We've been talking so much about spooging tonight.
Discharge could also be anal.
I mean, we also have waited until... We're waiting until after the podcast
we're
to have our gay threesome.
Yeah.
Instead of having it ahead of time.
We're not right now.
I mean,
when is it head time?
After the podcast. That's
okay,
what I was just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I think maybe we're a little pent up.
A little backed up.
Yeah. It's going to get messy in here.
It's been
a while.
That's
all I'm saying.
play that same song in your head right now.
We gotta put all right. We gotta put that drop cloth down.
The tarp, the sex tarp.
The kill room.
The kill room.
I mean, not the kill
room. Whoa, hey.
That's Fridays. Thursday's fucking, Fridays is killing. Good example of this, buddy.
Yay!
Hey James,
hey,
you should get us the fuck out of this podcast.
Oh,
kick us out of here.
Oh shit.
So, whoa, I got some porn texts.
All right then.
Good porn. We
like nudies.
I made notes because last time I really fucked up.
I was really proud of how fucked up that.
I'm gonna try to fuck it up.
We totally forgot a person who was right here. Which is great.
I mentioned him in the, like, the little after the credits.
Oh, shit, clip. We forgot Patrick. Oh, Patrick's here. Okay, bye.
Hey,
all
look.
Right, Patrick.
Hey, look. All right, everyone. Both you listeners.
All two of you.
Twain of you.
We appreciate your time. You've invested in us. The, like, the what you get back from that investment's nil. So keep investing. Danny's gonna die now. I don't know why I'm talking with a slightly New York accent.
No, that's all right. Keep going.
But
I feel good about it.
Look, if you want to, you can find us online, and you can follow us, or we can follow you. It's very stalky.
We'll follow you to your house.
Yeah, I'll be in the bushes with some Vicks vapor rub and a knife. Don't worry about it. My name is James. You can find me on Twitter at DoodooMonster. And over there is Danny Gwynn, and he
Hi.
Has a thing.
Yeah, you can find me at Strongest Kung Fu, and this podcast's movie review for Kung Fu movies
yes.
is Journey to the West, Conquering the Demons. You can find it now on Netflix. If you like Kung Fu Hustle, you will like this movie.
I did like Kung Fu
I Hustle. I love Kung Fu Hustle, okay. and this movie hit a lot of the same beats as
okay.
that. It's very
okay.
silly. You know, it's very much this sort of protagonist who's trying to find himself, and it's just a whole bunch of like this guy sucks. Like in the same way in Kung Fu Hustle, this guy's trying to be a bad guy,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
but he sucks at it. This guy's trying to be a demon hunter, but he sucks at it. Like his Ooh. Way of being a demon hunter is like this very peaceful approach.
Okay.
Okay. That's how I would approach hunting demons very peacefully.
Yeah.
He reads nursery rhymes to them and he plays them instruments and he tries to like find the good in the demons. So anyway, it's a very entertaining movie.
What's it called?
Journey it is called Journey to the West, subtitle Conquering the Demons. You can find it on Netflix.
Right.
It's great. So, highly recommend. Two thumbs up. I would actually even
Not
consider...
Three. Only two?
Perhaps if I had a third thumb, I might give it
you
a third.
It there.
So. All right, I'll give it three thumbs
yeah,
up.
Three thumbs
It's
up.
Pretty good. I might even consider purchasing this to like add to my stable of movies at home. I enjoyed it that
wow.
much. So,
shit.
It's pretty brutal insofar as like, you know, kids getting killed and stuff.
That's cool.
But you know, if you're into that, like James, then
sexually killing
kids. I'm not sexually aroused by the death of children. I just
you're just
seeing them die.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, on that note, you can find me at Strongest Kung Fu.
Yeah. There's also
and then
Ian.
There's this other guy.
There's also Ian. You can find me at the Space Ian on Twitter. By the time this comes out, this it would have already happened, but we'll be at California. At least James and I and Danny's amazing.
We're gonna go see them cacks.
We're gonna go see some huge cacks. We're gonna go see AX California Arcade Expo in Santa Clara, California. We'll be there hanging out, probably a few in the back, and playing some arcade games and some pinball. It's over in Santa Clara Hyatt, like right near Levi Stadium.
I'm gonna try to hang out in the music section, like music game section.
Look, just
smell
really,
them nerds.
Just really open up your breathing holes and
by
smell
breathing
all
hole, you
BO.
Just mean only my mouth,
yeah,
and not my nose.
Well,
all,
you're
yeah.
gonna taste it or smell it, regardless of which breathing hole you choose to use. So,
yeah. choose to use. Yep. That's my motto. Choose to use.
You choose.
Accurate.
But I'm the Spacian. Hang out with us. I mean, obviously, you probably already hung out with us this weekend. And it was a great time. I was really glad to hang out with you.
Yeah, it was nice meeting you.
By the time you listen to this.
That one thing that happened.
Oh, man. You remember that thing that happened. But wow. I'm probably going to tweet something like, if you do want to come up and say hey to us, tell us what you would want to do with a slime person. That's probably the way to go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how you'd be like, hey, I listen to you as well.
Top three slime person activities you would want to engage in.
I think so.
Let's leave it there.
That's a really good thing. You can also find the many of us, the most of us, at the BitPub on the Twitter.
We have a website too that I went to. I don't suggest doing that.
It doesn't do anything right now. It's links to all the other shit that we had.
Just go on Twitter. Twitter, thank you. You can pay us later. But
you owe us Twitter.
There's another website. I'm not even gonna say it. There's an email. Just tweet us.
Podcast at the BitPub. Or if you're gonna email.
Just tweet us. That's where we're gonna see.
Tweet all over us.
Cool. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess this has been and we are a bit drunk.
All those are true.
I'm just not.
Bye everybody.
Games. We talk about fear boners a lot on this podcast.
We get them a lot.
I think we're afraid of a lot of
our audience gets
well,
them
that's
a lot.
True. That's true.